All right, episode 430 is going to be brought to you by One World Whey Protein Powder. Now, this is the stuff that I love this stuff so much. I use it in all of my fruit smoothies when I make them, and I also use it in my coffee drink along with the colostrum from Sir Thrival. But the One World Whey, it's got like 21 grams of protein per scoop. It's helps to cleanse and detoxify, raise glutathione levels, helps to clear out heavy metals. It's bioactive, it's 100% raw, and it's organic, coming from Amish farmers. All the lactose is removed from it. It's so good, and I think you guys are going to love it. If you're looking for a whey protein or any kind of protein, go ahead and check out One World Whey. There'll be a link on this particular show page. And the show is also brought to you one of our favorite water filters. This thing is awesome. It's gravity-fed, and it's portable, doesn't use electricity. It's stainless steel, doesn't leach heavy metals. And Natural News, our good friend Mike Adams over at Natural News recently did a test on this, and let me share with you some of the results. It gets rid of 86.6% of aluminum, 100% of copper, 100% of arsenic, 100% of strontium, 100% cadmium, 98.6% of cesium, 99.8% of mercury, 100% of lead, 100% of uranium. The Berkey's awesome. I just love it. Kate and I have been putting all of our water through there, and we always like to use the highest quality water that you put through there. But I think you guys are really going to love, if you're looking for a water filter, the Big Berkey is the way to go. And if you want to check out the Berkey or the One More Whey protein powder, just go to extremehealthradio.com/430.
Is that music?
There's music. And it's playing.
I can't hear it, but you're bobbing your head over there. I have no earphones today.
Bob and Weave. Bob and Weave.
What's that from? Bob and Weave.
Never heard that before? Like boxers, you know how they bob and weave?
Oh, yeah. I knew of that term. I just was blanking. That's what that is.
Did I say bob and
like
weave?
Like
bob and weave.
What's the hook? Jab and hook jab. Jab, jab, hook.
What?
Don't you jab, jab, and hook somebody in a fight?
Oh, no, that's that book by Gary Vaynerchuk. Jab, jab, hook, or...
Really?
Yeah.
But I thought he was saying it. That's how, like, somebody goes about fighting, no?
Oh, yeah, 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 that's
Am I
right.
crazy?
Yeah, they'll do a bunch of jabs, and then they'll do, like, a big uppercut or big hook
right,
or something.
That, I know my boxing.
Look at you.
Was that boxing? I know my fighting.
Is that SAG? Is that SAG?
Oh, brother.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, brother.
Well, here we are again. This is episode 430, right?
Holy moly.
Holy moly. Holy moly.
Yeah, 430.
430 shows.
Jeez.
Jeez Louise.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good, huh? I mean, we've been doing this since 2012. Has it been since?
You have since 2012.
My goodness. It's been 2012, almost mm-hmm. 4 years now.
Wow.
Well, I feel like we should have more shows for this amount of time, no?
Well, we would if we were still doing the crazy schedule we couldn't keep before the four shows a week.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But I think 430 is a pretty good number.
Well, we got a ton of stuff to get to. We got a bunch of listener questions. We have an iTunes review from our buddy Nick. I want to thank our latest patrons for donating to our show and to our cause. We appreciate that. Gene N, Adam G, and Cheryl. Should I say their last name?
I don't know.
I never know what to do.
Just not.
Not?
I don't know. I don't know the right thing.
You know what? I'm just going to say it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to go on a limb right here.
Okay.
Gene Nurkowski, Adam Gall, and Cheryl Winter.
Thank you, guys.
We're all out there on the internet anyway, right?
Right. I mean, well, we're just grateful. I know. I don't want people to think we're like in first grade saying, you know...
Betsy R.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Johnny L.
Right. Yeah. Come sharpen your pencil. No, I want people to know we're grateful. I just don't want to feel like, you know, we're exposing people's last names. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the right thing is, but we're just grateful. So, we want you guys to feel appreciated.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys, for donating to us on Patreon. We really appreciate that. That's sort of how we, not sort of, it is how we pay all of our bills. And that's part of how we do it all. And, your support is so greatly appreciated. And without your support, we couldn't do what we do. So we appreciate that a lot. I just want to, before we get started, I just wanted to let everyone know about some of the health summits that are coming up. If you're listening to this sort of, what's the right word? During the time that it's being aired, even though we're not live, there's a bunch of health summits going on. And if you subscribe to our newsletter, I usually let you guys know about those. And they're free. All these health summits are free. So all you got to do is register for these things and you get to learn a lot, a ton of information from them. All right. So the first one, this isn't really a summit, but it's the Fit Life. Our buddy Drew over at fitlife.tv has just recently launched his probiotic line. And if you guys are interested in that, it's 10 different strains of probiotics. And I'll put a link. How about this? For these summits, I'll put a link on the show page.
Great.
ExtremeHealthRadio.com/430. We got the Culinary Nutrition Conference that happens May 11th.
Ooh, what's that one about?
I looked at it last night. I'll bring that up in just a second. We've got the Vitamin Summit, from May 12th to the May 18th, 2016. The Breast Cancer Prevention Conference from May 15th to May 20th, 2016. The Natural Cancer Prevention Summit, from May 16th to 23rd. Longevity and Anti-Aging Summit, June 6th to the 13th. The Body Ecology is going to be launching a really great product that I can't really expose too much of it right now, but I want to, let you guys know coming in June, in early June. And then Hashimoto Summit, June 13th to June 19th. So if you know anyone dealing with Hashimoto's. Hashimoto's.
Sounds like a way your dad would say it. Hashimoto's.
Hashimoto's. That's coming.
Sounds more peaceful though, doesn't it?
Hashimoto.
That's the very Zen form of the the challenge.
Oh man, yeah, Healing Hashimoto's Summit.
Great.
So a lot of stuff, huh?
Great.
And we're in the middle of a. So the reason why you can't see us on camera is number one, we're not filming it. So that would be a big reason. But number two, we are not in our new studio. And we just recently moved into a new studio, which you can see the very first video we did with Michelle, Dr. Michelle Schrader. You know, I didn't mention her. I didn't say that she was a doctor on the show.
I know. I realized that too.
And she worked hard to earn that degree. So next time she's on, I'll make sure to refer to her as a doctor.
Yes. But I think you gave her a shout out on the newsletter, right?
Did I? I did, right?
Yeah. I know. She's worked really hard for that.
That was episode 429. So we have that on video. So we're going to be moving more towards videos. We're doing this show in our home studio because you...
We can.
We can. And you're on your way to take a trip this weekend.
I'm going on my retreat.
Yeah.
Gosh, I love it. My goal is, that'd be a dream to do once a season.
Mm-hmm.
It's pouring rain here, which never happens in Southern California, but I just feel like it is so great when you release expectations. I kind of was thinking we'd been having all this hot weather leading up to today and nice weather, thinking, oh, it's kind of summer. I'm going to book this retreat and plan on doing some hikes and be out in nature a lot. And hopefully the weather clears up enough to do that, but it doesn't matter. It's really neat to be able to watch yourself let go of expectations and actually be excited to embrace whatever it is that's waiting there for me, including the rain, because I feel like it's like being sick sometimes and laid up. It's when you start listening.
Yeah. Remember rainy day schedule in school?
I loved the rainy day schedule.
I didn't like it, but it was cool. It was a cool break from the normal routine, though.
You wanted to go out and play, though?
I wanted to go out and play. We would always watch those movies. What is that with the black and white movies with those kids? Our Gang.
Did you?
What was
Our Gang.
Was that the name of with Alfalfa and all that?
Little Rascals.
Little Rascals. Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Little Rascals. That's what they put on TV?
Yeah, it was just like, you know, the projectors back in the 80s and the whole, like we'd all go into the cafeteria and eat our lunch and we'd watch Little Rascals.
Oh, see, that's cool. We were in our classrooms watching different, like a little TV, and we always got to pick a movie or something.
Oh, did you?
That's probably why I liked it.
Yeah.
I loved rainy day schedule. I didn't like going out. I just don't like being wet.
Yeah. But you know what's cool, though? It's cool that you're going into this trip with a little bit of... what is it about people that causes them to be so attached? I mean, I used to be like this. Remember when we'd go to Australia? And I still would be like this, probably. I mean, I'd be a little bit more evolved this time, I think. At least I hope. But... you know, you'd have a 2-week vacation and the whole time it would be, it's just raining and drizzling and you'd be in Australia and it was supposed to be summer and so you leave the winter here.
And gosh darn it, you picked the wrong time to go to a foreign country to get some summer.
But it is hard, though, isn't it, to just be accepting of whatever is and just being like, okay, this is my teacher and this is what I needed. If it's raining and I'm on a 2-week vacation and my expectations were to be to surf in the sun, then I have to give that up.
Yeah, I think it's okay to be disappointed, but to go on and complain and say, like, this is the worst thing ever, I think is where I've gone wrong in the past, you know? Because looking back at those things, I mean, you really come across adventures and people and opportunities and situations you wouldn't have had you been elsewhere.
Right.
I just look at it as a great adventure now, most of the time.
Yeah.
I just roll.
You can't, like Todd Beamer.
Yeah, let's roll.
If Todd Beamer was an actual real person.
Good old Todd Beamer reference there.
Many people think he made
that was his only reference.
Let's roll.
Let's roll.
But yeah, like it's
God really, bless Todd though, if he was real.
If he was real, God bless him. Yes. But yeah, it is hard to be accepting of what is. That's the hardest thing. And what is that quote? Like, the root of all suffering comes from attachment or something.
Was that Buddha?
I think it could have been our buddy the Buddha.
Our buddy the Buddha. All suffering. How do you say that again?
I love that you repeat that.
Our buddy the Buddha.
Our buddy the Buddha.
We're silly today. Our buddy the Buddha. What was it? All suffering?
I've
heard it.
Who knows? It doesn't really matter who said it, but it's good. The root of all suffering comes from stems from attachment. And that seems to be true. Because you think, okay, well, or is it attachment or is it expectation? But either way,
I think it's attachment.
You're attached to your ideas of how you think something should be, and when it's not that way, then you get all
panties in a ruffle.
Yeah, you get your red panties in a wad. You know, it's no good, right?
No.
You get angry and upset. Gosh, that's so challenging, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm still working. I'm nowhere near mastering that, but
what would ruin this trip for you? Like you're going out on a little 3-day vacation here and you're all excited about it and you're looking forward to it. What would ruin it for you?
At this point, nothing. That's what's funny.
But what if let's say the roads got closed and you had to stay home?
Right. Well, then I'm kind of at a cool place in life where I'd be like, well, then God obviously had a reason I wasn't supposed to be on that road. Maybe I would have died. I'd rather live my life longer than have it cut short because I wanted this so bad. It's like, you don't know what you're asking for sometimes.
Right.
So yeah. I'd be disappointed, but yet again, I'd get over it a lot quicker. I get over things a lot quicker than I used to. Mm-hmm. You seem to too, for sure.
But yeah. Not holding on to things.
Right.
Losing expectation.
Like it'd be a disappointment to me too, if like my girlfriends that I'm going with bailed at the last second or something, because my expectation has been for a month now since we planned this or whatever, is to go with them. So it'd be a bit of a downer, but then I'd be like, well, gosh, now I get to be by myself. I wonder what there's for me by myself. You know, it's like you just adjust and you move on.
Yeah. So you weren't like that always, right?
I was better than my sister. Let's put it that way. God love her, but she, to this day, is still very, very... I know, I'd say having kids for her has calmed her down a little and made her more flexible.
Yeah.
But in general, she was the one in kindergarten that I think this really happened. My mom told me the story that if there was a rainy day schedule, she'd be the one freaking out because it wasn't the same as they told her it was going to be.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Or if they told her in kindergarten, I think it was kindergarten or first grade, that there would be a rainy day schedule the next day and they'd watch a movie. And then it happened. And the movie, they obviously sent the kids outside because it wasn't raining. And I remember my mom got a call, she said, from the school.
Really?
My sister was just a mess, just super upset that what they told her wasn't.
Crying and sobbing.
Wow. So it's funny. I've realized working at the speech therapy place I'm at right now, part-time, it is really powerful. Children seem to remember everything, and they hold their parents and other adults to really high standards. So when you say something, they really expect you to follow through, and they remember, and they'll question you if you didn't. Mm-hmm. I remember one time I told my niece, you know, Molly, I'd make cookies with her, and it ended up being a couple weeks later, but she said, remember, we were supposed to make cookies. I mean, she was like 2, 3. And it's sad, though, to me, because seeing this now, having nieces and little people around more, and then all the little kids at speech therapy, it's really disappointing, though, because you think, wow, what a bunch of disappointing parents there are in the world, you know?
What do you mean, parents that disappoint their kids?
Yeah, because kids don't know how to release an expectation. They just know that they're trying to connect and they're trusting. To them, it's a trust built with an adult, you know?
Right, right.
So I don't know. I ever since then, it's been really good for me to be careful with, you know, letting them have their process as well, because they're not adults and they haven't figured out yet in their little brains how to process disappointment or expectations. So I realize, you know, like you always say, not to live a life too high or too low. It's like you kind of got to find that middle, flying in the current, kind of getting the right jet stream and staying right in that, because you don't want to promise kids the world, but you don't want to be constantly disappointing them and having them have nothing to look forward to or count on you for either.
Then it's also good to, when you do make calculated comments, you should make sure they're calculated to them, and then also be a person of your word.
That's the thing, is to hold yourself accountable to your own words, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big thing.
Be impeccable with your word. Isn't that Don Miguel Ruiz and the Four Agreements?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's a hard thing. It's a challenging thing to do, to be that way. And also, like, releasing expectations and just going with the flow, or as Hicks and Gracie says, flowing with the go.
Flowing with the go. Did he mess up, or that's how he actually says it?
I think that's how he says it.
Flowing with the go.
Flowing with the go.
Who said that? Hickson?
Hicks and Gracie, yeah.
How funny.
But yeah, when you do that, you cause so much less stress and pressure on your life. And it's just a constant journey of learning how to do that, you know?
Isn't this the journey?
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm actually picking up a book on the way to the retreat that I'm super excited about. I've been wanting to read it for a couple of years now. The Untethered Soul.
Untethered.
By Michael Singer.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
How did I have that book?
Shay, our massage girl, had it. Her house, and I flipped through it when you were getting a massage for our anniversary last year, and I'd heard about it before, but golly, it looks so good. It looks so good. But I'm like, how do we, you know, again, what's the challenge is to live from heaven to earth, not from earth up to heaven. You know, it's like trying to reverse that.
Right.
And I feel like this Untethered is such a beautiful title, and, you know, I'm so excited to kind of get some more insight into living from that place of unattachment. I mean,
is that what it's all about, kind of?
I think unattachment, as well as releasing all that is that keeps you in your own self-made prison.
Mm.
It's going to be good.
I'm sure that's not much for most people.
Right.
Not much.
Oh, man.
There's not a whole lot that keeps us tied down to our own prisons.
Yeah. Well, I posted on Instagram yesterday. I don't know if you saw that, probably a statue of the Archangel Michael.
Oh, I saw. Where did you get that?
It was outside of an Episcopal church a couple blocks over.
Oh, is that the one over there on that?
Yeah, on that street, a couple streets over.
Yeah.
And I was having a day where I was so sick of letting the, quote, enemy win. I felt like just really beat down by the enemy. And I kept going, well, what is the enemy? You know, I kept thinking of Les Brown and how he keeps, I love how he quotes often that African proverb that if there's no enemy within, the enemy outside can do you no harm. And I kept thinking about that. And I was like, okay, well, obviously something's bothering me to make me feel in an anxious place this week. What is it? So I went into thinking, wow, the enemies are things like self-doubt, judgment, guilt, things we place on ourselves, fear. I mean, fear is just huge. Fear seems to run the world.
Yeah, without fears, I mean, imagine empires would crumble.
Empires would crumble.
I mean, think about how much fear is involved in everything that we do in life. And advertising, programming, TV. Oh, this, you know, this whatever is going to go away. Act now. Or
fear, you know, fear.
It's fear.
Fear and the not the expectation, what's the word I'm looking for? Fear and the, I guess it's a fear of getting people to feel like they're going to lose something, of loss.
Yeah, fear of loss.
Because if people lose out on something, or they lose something, they're, what would they do? They need someone to help control them and keep it in line. And
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. But it is true. If you don't have, so I Instagram that basically with all the things of like, the statue is of Michael, the angel Michael, holding a sword, and he's stepping on what looks like to be a Satan character with wings, and he's holding a chain, and it's like he is seriously crushing the enemy by standing on them and having the sword drawn. And I thought, it's just such a beautiful representation of what the enemy looks like in our life. It might not be a little guy with horns on his head, you know, with a pitchfork.
Right.
It's those things. What did I hashtag?
You said Saint Michael slaying dragons.
Slaying dragons.
No enemy against me shall stand.
But I wrote about the fears. I put the things that are.
Yeah.
What did I write?
How I'm feeling today, crushing the enemy with a giant sword and defeating the enemy equals fear, doubt, self-blame, hopelessness, just to name a few of these real issues we face as humans on this journey we call life.
Yeah.
Loving the African proverb, when there is no enemy within, the enemy outside cannot hurt you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, most people, you know, think of like the enemy outside of themselves, but man, we just, like, we don't even need an enemy. We've been so perfectly programmed in our life to have the things within us that just hold us back, and they don't even need, it's almost like they don't even need it to influence us from the outside. They've already done it.
Totally.
And we, it's like having the prisoners, you know, tattle on each other. Like, you have this demon, also AKA the ego or whatever you want to call it, living inside you that just does it all for you. It keeps you scared and depressed and fearful.
The battle's all between your ears, right?
Yeah, man.
Gosh, it becomes truer. The older I get, the more I can recognize it. And the beauty of it, though, is that you can learn how to harness it and make them bow to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can turn those things around.
Yeah. Hey, what did you think about, speaking of this kind of stuff, what do you think about episode 429 with Michelle LaMassa?
LaMassa Schrader.
LaMassa Schrader.
I love her.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great episode. I'm really drawn to all kinds of things self-improving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drawn to things therapy-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Not really typical kinds of therapy usually.
Right.
Although, you know, I have to say, I do want to stress that there are people I know that are completely helped by therapy, and it's been very helpful for them. I'm not bagging on it. I realized after that show, I hope I didn't say anything too disparaging against regular therapy. There is a time and there is a place for that in counseling, but I think it can just be taken so many levels deeper,
right,
to find a lot more real and maybe faster healing,
mm-hmm,
than sorting through the same issues over and over and over. It's like, I love how she just wants to get to the root of it, and I find it interesting that a lot of it stems from our own lives, our own timings of our lives, and our families and the ancestry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't disparage. You just talked about that really great analogy. Who was it?
Sheila Hemphill.
Sheila Hemphill. For those that are interested, Sheila Hemphill did a great show with us on the dangers of smart meters. But I think she mentioned this off the air, didn't she?
You know, I think it was off the air. So people, if they've ever listened to the episode, they're like, what the heck is Kate talking about? But
yeah,
I think it was off the air.
But it was this idea that she was talking about how she went to therapy for many years, and she kind of described it as like,
I think it was that, or she was, I don't remember if she said it was she that went to therapy all these years, or if it was what she viewed therapy like and her experience of seeing how it worked for other people.
Okay.
I'm not sure. To clarify.
Yeah, she just talked about how it's similar to like throwing up in a bucket, and then you dump the bucket out, and then you sort through all the stuff that's in the bucket and talk about it and look at it and analyze it. Then you put everything back in the bucket again.
Pack it up.
And then throw up all over again and just keep doing the same process and just looking at all the stuff. And recall healing is, I don't know, it's different. It's way different. It's just like an alternative form of nutrition in a sense. I mean, on a deeper level, like, If conventional therapy is like eating the standard American diet, then recall healing is like alternative nutrition. You know,
yeah,
it's just a alternative way of doing the same thing.
Yeah, of working on yourself.
Yeah.
Working and really, really slaying them and putting them, the dragons, and putting them to bed once and for all.
Uh-huh.
'Cause I feel like a lot of therapy that I've done in the past hasn't got me to lay these things to rest. The things that have been the most helpful to me to really overcome hard year-longs or decades-long issues are the things that are a little more alternative, a little more funky, a mm-hmm. little bit more out there. But let me tell you, it really has worked better for me.
Yeah. And what's cool about it too is, excuse me, my gallbladder. I had to burp.
Your gallbladder. I wonder what Recall Healing would have to say about that.
All right, I should get the book. But in Recall Healing, it's cool because they look at everything in the exact opposite of how we look at it. And so the actual disease itself is the healing that the body's going through. So
that's a wild concept when I first heard that.
Yeah, I've been doing some stuff with Dr. Richard Massey lately, and he keeps saying that, like, you know, how is it? So instead of saying, like, you know, how come my body is creating these hives, say, for example? People will say, oh, I've got these hives. Why is my body messed up? My body's all messed up. I've got these hives. But what he would say is, like, how incredibly smart is my body to create such a condition like hives that actually
protects
and heals me from something bigger that's going on so that I don't have to deal with whatever that is. And so that's a huge, way different way of looking at any kind of sickness, because it actually gives you a little bit of power.
Hmm.
You know, it makes you think, okay, I've got this rash, or I've got this, I had a heart attack, or I've got this incredible headache. Wow, my body is so infinitely smart that it would rather give me a super painful headache than having to manifest a disease that's really going on right now that would actually kill me. Because if that were to happen, then we'd just die.
Right.
But our body's so smart that it gives us a headache so that we can have a little bit of insight as to why the headache's there and what the real cause of the disease is that's
so
underlying. And so you don't really get that from traditional healing or traditional psychotherapy or any of that kind of stuff.
That reminds me of something I've journaled about recently in my own time, was in my morning time. I have these awesome moments where I get this clarity, but one of it was one entry a couple weeks back was about how I was having to learn how to be grateful for the chronic digestive issues I've had, mm-hmm. and things that have stopped me in my tracks and actually gotten me away from my job at the salon with all the chemicals, because I can only imagine 10, 20 years down the road, if I would have been diagnosed, who knows, anybody's guess, but I could have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and mm-hmm. been a goner or not. But either way, it could have been something so much greater. And mm-hmm. I think that was kind of awakening to me when I had a friend. I have a friend who's also a hairstylist who just literally got diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer. And I thought, and she's 25 years older than me.
Yeah.
So I thought, gosh, it was a glimpse of what could or could not have been. But to me, it stood for, wow, I'm actually going to take this illness and be thankful for it, for what it could protect me and could be protecting me from.
Dude, that's
so
huge.
Same thing as recall healing, whether it's looking at a disease a certain way, thanking it for protecting your body, or even a situation where you're taken out kind of in life, whether it's a job or something you necessarily might not have wanted and wished upon yourself. But to turn it around and to find what the nugget in there, that's like the real gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge.
What could be the root?
I think it's so huge, because what are we taught in our culture? We're taught push through. I mean, think about like
fight, push,
our
push.
Parents' generation, just fight through everything. You know, oh, you're sick. You know, someone's an honorable worker because they never take a sick day. And that mentality is what keeps people sick, because then they're at work when they're sick. They're not able to stay home and rest and rest physically, but then by staying home and resting and listening to your body, you're able to sort of look within. And if you have this kind of awareness, that's the thing, is you have to sort of cultivate this. But if you have it, then you can start to figure out what the underlying sickness really could be,
mm-hmm.
and what's going on a deeper level. But if you just push through sickness, then it's just not like, you never get that insight. And so God's always saying to you like, okay, well, I'll give you another sickness in a few months, and to lay you out, and hopefully you'll wake up then. But then you fight through that,
right.
And then you fight through each one, and then all of a sudden,
I know,
it's just no good.
I love how Lyssa Rankin was saying in her books, just about how first the body sends whispers, you know,
oh yeah,
and then it'll start screaming at you eventually, yeah. because it has to. It has to be heard, and either we hear it and we change, or we don't hear it at all and we suffer, or we hear it and we ignore it and we suffer the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a hard thing to come to terms with, though, I think, of just, it truly is untethering yourself and letting go of everything.
Because think about you, you know, because I always like to look at someone who's 20 years older and just say, okay, do I want their kind of health? Do I want their kind of finances? Do I want their kind of life? Did they marry the wrong person?
Good or bad? Do I want these things about these people? Right?
Yeah. I look at people and if they're 20 years older, I kind of just analyze them and see and compare and see if like mm-hmm. I want, with, because if I do whatever they do, I'm going to have what they have.
Totally.
So do I want what they have? And usually the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it's like, okay, well, what do I have to do now on a consistent basis that will prevent me from getting stuck in their spot?
Right.
You know? And so you think about you. And I mean, this leaving your job, like, you had to do that.
I did.
It was huge, though. You had no choice.
I had no choice.
You're getting too sick from it, and you were having all these symptoms, and
And I knew too much. It's because, like, the whole Oprah, when you know better, you do better. Uh-huh. I knew at this point from this journey of what little I had been on the show, but hearing you all these years talk about chemicals and stuff, it's like, I knew better. Uh-huh. And it's so hard to show up and do something when you know better. But like Oprah says, when you know better, you do better. And I was mm-hmm. like, how can I go into this purposely?
Mm-hmm. 'Cause you'd come home and I'd just be talking about chemicals.
How was your day at work? Oh, good. I did a bunch of hair. Great. What kind of chemicals did you throw on people? Or do you know
walk
that?
In the door and I was mid-conversation to nobody about chemicals.
Yeah. Bleach just kills your thyroid talking to yourself out loud. You're funny.
Yeah.
No, but hearing you, not even just chemicals, but health, I should say.
Yeah.
And becoming aware of what goes into our, what we put into our bodies and what we do to ourselves and in the name of a dollar.
Stupid, right?
Stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, if, you know, you can't undo the past, but man, if I would have known all those years earlier, you know, I came home with black palms. My palms would be black from having washed someone's hair color out and not wearing gloves and not protecting myself. And it's just, it was all for money because everyone's so desperate to live and mm-hmm. not, you know, have their worst fear, which is ending up on the streets actually happen. It's like, wow, I didn't treat myself the way that my body desire to be treated.
Yeah, totally.
So you learn.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think about our buddy Doug Kaufman, episode 428, about fungus and cancer?
Yeah, I was trying to find a sentence in my head.
I guess what? There's what? Someone on our Facebook account, I posted a video about people eating avocado seeds and you know, how to dehydrate them and then blend them and dice them up and then turn them into a powder.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone on Facebook said that they have a fungus on there. On the pit.
Oh, great.
And she said that it's not toxic or anything, but there's a fungus on there.
Mm.
So I replied to her and I said, you know what? I need to ask Doug that.
Did you?
Not yet. No.
Oh, I'm curious now.
Yeah. About fungus being on the avocado pit, but...
Well, it kind of makes... I mean, I don't know. It makes sense when you think about it in the way that it's kind of like a nut.
Yeah.
And nuts are, you know, some nuts, especially peanuts, you have that mold fungus on some of them. It seems like the perfect place for a fungus to be cultivated.
I wonder, though, if Doug is... You know how to somebody who has a hammer, everything seems like a nail?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if fungus really is the cause of all these things that he's talking about, or if it is correlated and there's fungus there.
Present in these situations where...
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's not the actual cause. But I don't know. I suspect he's probably onto something. I think his work is really, really interesting. And I think people should definitely look into it.
Doesn't it seem, though, like...
Intuitively, it seems like what he's saying is true.
Especially with cancer, in my opinion. It seems like a fungus, like a mold.
Your body's
like
molding
out.
Yeah, your body's sort of got fungus on the
decaying.
Inside. It's decaying from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So whether it's whether fungus or mold is the cause of other things, I don't know. But it wouldn't surprise me.
Uh-huh. He says it's the cause. But, I mean, the way I look at it is like if you breathe in a mold spore... And the host in your environment is like too acidic. Like, you know, what's his name? Dr. What is that guy's name we had on our show? Dr. Peach Miracle.
I'm blanking. I remember though.
I need more ginkgo biloba.
You need more ginkgo.
What is that name?
Google it. Peach Miracle. Let's find out.
Yeah, let's see.
Let's do a...
I know it's phmiracleliving.com. PH Miracle.
When you say it, I know I'm just going to laugh because we love him.
Yeah, what is his name? phmiracleliving.com. Robert O. Young.
Yes.
Dr. Robert O. Young.
Right.
So he's a guy, too, that says everything is caused by being too acid. And he's been on our show before. But maybe, you know, if your body's unhealthy and it's acidic and then the fungus comes in and...
Takes over.
So it's
over.
Like... It's more than just one thing, I think.
It almost seems like any body that's... in a great state of pH or just health in general, you're going to be able to ward off anything that comes your way, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
so. Which I don't know if many people are that ideal balance of everything, but wouldn't that be cool if you could just, you know, like, it's like Xena Warrior Princess. Here comes some mold, bam.
Yeah.
Here comes some cancer cells, bam. Like, you're in a place of, like, indestructibility.
Mm-hmm. If you got a good terrain.
Yeah, because some people will swear it's an acid alkaline thing, that if you're too acidic, you're going to foster cancer. Other people are like, yeah, it's going to be mold, or it's not having enough, vitamin B12 in your body, or, you're just going to hear some B17. It's like a lack of, I don't know. Again, but I think it has so much to do with lifestyle, don't you? And stress and like what you believe to be true.
Yeah.
Some people I feel like are almost asking for some kind of a disease to be heard or to have a voice, or
right.
You wonder what the spiritual implications of getting ill are, and they're not all bad. I mean, what people learn from things and have the lifestyle changes necessary to go on and change their world, but maybe even the world, is all worth it.
Or think about sympathy.
Empathy, like, and sympathy.
If you are someone who has a sickness or disease and all, like maybe, I mean, it would make sense if you were a kid who sort of like the middle child that got overlooked your whole life, and everyone else, like, you know, your family paid attention to the older one and then to the youngest one, but you got overlooked. The classic Jan Brady.
It's my life. I'm the middle child.
I know, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But I was going to say, like, for people, I wonder if a part of it is like, hey, look at me. Like, right. Now I've got this sickness or disease, and now everyone has to pay attention to me. And there's probably an element to that too, to a lot of people who are sick, you know, because mm-hmm. maybe people just don't listen to them or don't value them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be something there too,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, I think it goes into like a lot of, because like what Ty Bollinger says about cancer is like, you know, it's the inability to detoxify your body. It's a lack of nutrition and minerals. And it's an exposure, it's a constant exposure to toxins. So when you detoxify your body, get that stuff out, and then you prevent further exposure, and then you get the right nutrition, it seems like the human body should just go on living forever. Seems like.
Mm.
You know.
And then you get into the work of, who was it? That was supposing that if you didn't know about death, maybe you wouldn't die.
Oh, Peter
Because
you're Ragnar.
Aware of it. Was that Peter?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
He does not believe in death. So he says he's never going to die.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, talk about a level of reprogramming that you have to do. Because we're taught, like, you watch a movie and there's a funeral. You watch a movie and there's a birth. You watch a movie and so-and-so's got a disease and they're afraid and they're dying and stuff.
The cycle has been since the beginning of time, since we've been told. But yeah, what if you change the script?
Because like Maggie has no idea that she's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Our little puppy.
Mm-hmm.
She has no idea.
But why does she die then?
That's a good point. Maybe, mm-hmm. maybe just hypothesizing from Peter's perspective, maybe she's not at a high enough level to
ascend.
To ascend beyond that.
Mm.
But I suspect, I mean, there is this weird thing of like how programmed by for death humans are, and it's everywhere if you think about it, but it does seem like it's inevitable, you know.
Well, and your whole, but I don't like that your whole living life, your whole being is planning to die. It's like you're training, like you said, you go to sleep every night like a little cocoon, like you're going into a death state and you're reborn the next morning. It's like you're training for that moment, and then you're like, gotta get life insurance, gotta write a will, I mean,
gotta plan my obituary.
Yeah, you gotta get the family plot. It's like you plan. I mean, there's no problem with planning, but it does seem very odd that since the minute we're born, they claim you start dying the minute you start breathing, you're worse off, and then second of all, you spend half your time just worrying about and planning for something that's way down the road, that's just gonna happen anyway. So why spend your living life worrying about it? I don't know.
It's weird, huh?
I don't know.
Because it would be almost weird, like, if you were put on an island and you were just... Like if the Adam and Eve story is literally true, that mm-hmm. there was literally physical beings named Adam and Eve. It's weird names. Did they believe in death? Did they know they were going to die?
Well, maybe because only the story isn't that God cursed them and told them that their days would be numbered.
Uh-huh.
But how odd that God let, who was it, Elisha? Who are the two guys that got...
Oh, taken up?
Taken up without dying. There's two, right?
Enoch.
And Elisha?
I'll go with Elisha.
I think there's two, right? I think.
I believe there's two.
But how weird is that? Because then it's not true. If that's true in the Bible, then it's not true that everyone dies. Not every man dies.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, that's right.
So what is that? So is it that they made a deal with God and they're like, hey... I'm going to live this holy life if you give me eternal life and I don't ever have to do a physical death. And God says, okay. Or
did they know that?
Or they weren't even aware of death. And so they just, they were like, I'm not going to die. So they didn't.
Wow. That's weird. That's weird.
Those stories are weird.
So it's funny that you say that because that's true. Because let's say there's 700 trillion people that have ever existed on the planet, just for a nice round number. 700 trillion. But let's say there were, and if only two of them that happened to, and that's a true story, then you cannot definitively say that it's true that every person dies.
Totally.
Even if one person doesn't do it, then if one person, who's to say that, you know, if God was responsible for them not dying, mm-hmm. who's to say that Peter Ragnar doesn't have some insight
tracked with God?
Yeah, well, that's going to happen too.
Right. Well, maybe that is happening. Like you tripped me out the first time you said, well, what if that's happening right now in the hills of Mongolia or something? There's some monks.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows? They could be thousands of years old.
Yeah.
Or even 100. I mean, maybe people, but honestly, like, I can't imagine historians who are Christians studying the Bible and thinking that, I mean, obviously they wouldn't say it's an average daily occurrence, but from a historical and sensical point of view, to say that someone was taken up, a couple people just disappeared or were taken up by a chariot, or like, that's bizarre, right?
That's
really strange.
Enoch.
I think there was two of them.
Let's see. Enoch being taken to heaven. Hebrews 11:5. Let's see, BibleHub.com. By faith, Enoch was taken from his life so that he did not experience death. Quote, he could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. What? What does that mean?
But wasn't Mary also supposedly like the most holy? Like, I mean, God picked her. She was in God's favor. There's been a lot of people who had God's favor. So what kind of deal did he make with God, or why was he...
Yeah, because you have to say that, like, obviously God favored Mary.
God favored a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right? Was Elisha one of them, too?
Why did God take Enoch and Elijah to heaven without them even dying? Answer, according to the Bible, Enoch and Elijah are the only two people God took to heaven without them dying. Genesis 5:24 tells us, Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. Dun, dun, dun.
That sounds sketchy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Second Kings.
He walked with God and then he was no more.
He was no more.
Interesting.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Like, what does that mean? Did he just go home and they couldn't find him anymore? Second Kings 2:11 tells us, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind.
The original Hunger Games. I envision them coming into the arena. Woo.
Why was there a
whirlwind?
What's this?
Why did he need a chariot? I mean, that's cool.
And is there something that with the whirlwind, like the you know how water's structured?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe his body became structured.
Maybe he structured himself.
Maybe his cells became connected to God through vortex action.
See, I tell you, it might be complete craziness, but when you read the Bible with an open mind and you ask questions, you can kind of like wonder if some of this stuff isn't hidden in plain sight.
In a whirlwind, I mean, why does it choose to use the word whirlwind? And
right, it wasn't like he got in his chariot and the horses flew off. It was like he got in a chariot with horses, but then a whirlwind picked him up.
But is it possible that whoever wrote 2 Kings 2:11 was just...
Crazy? Probably, maybe.
Enoch is described as a man who walked with God for over 300 years. Elijah was perhaps the most powerful of God's prophets in the Old Testament. There are also prophecies of Elijah's return in Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Bizarre, man.
Did he come back?
No, I think that's supposed to be in the book of Revelation.
Because of his return. Well, that sounds a little...
Chariots and fire and a whirlwind. I mean, it seems like a whirlwind would... I've never seen a whirlwind that could also contain fire in it, because the whirlwind by its nature would put out a fire, right? It's
right,
wind.
Right. It's damp. It's yeah. Moving. A lot of questions.
Again,
not to say it's not true, but I just think that's strange sounding. So maybe, I don't know. If you believe you aren't going to die, do you die? Is there a way to cheat God?
I know,
or make
is
a pact with God?
Oh, who knows?
Interesting things.
Got a question here from Natasha Howie.
I've got all the answers.
You got all the answers? Obviously, we have all the answers here, as you can tell. can you please tell me where I can get Methuselah, speaking of
Bible names?
Yeah.
Okay.
Methuselah to remove biofilms, as per the interview with Robert Vaughn Sarbacher. Yes, go to robertvaughn.com, click into his MiniBeat Protocol article, and at the bottom of that article is his email address. And then you can find or email him and ask him if he's still selling it. I'm not sure where to get it. I've never taken it myself. But thanks, Natasha, for the email. And that is Robert Vaughn's email. And so you can ask him where to get.
People are always interested in the Methuselah. There's a couple. I feel like there's been a couple products over the years. There's that one. And
the biofilms is huge.
There's another one that people always ask about in emails. And I'm blanking where to get some other kind of... I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of people ask about
I thought that was Robert Vaughn. That was a painting of Methuselah.
Well, he isn't
looking so good.
He's not looking so good. He's got to work on his...
Looks like Yoda.
He needs to take some anti-aging medicine. But he lived to 969, if you believe, in Genesis chapter 11, I think.
Like, why wasn't he taken up?
No, Genesis chapter 5.
Genesis 5.
Methuselah. Maybe. Who knows? A lot of people conjecture that the...
I like that word, conjecture.
They conjecture that the firmament, which is the what people think is the layer of water that existed...
Before the stars?
Before the flood.
Before the flood. Was it above the stars?
Yeah, because there was in Genesis it talks about the firmament above and the firmament of water below. And so some people say that, you know, that was protecting us from radiation and that's why man lived so long, 969 years. I don't know. That sounds a bit weird.
Does it make sense to you, though? Kind of?
I mean, it makes as much sense as chakras and energy healing and Reiki and the Bible.
It all seems
bizarre.
Who knows, right? Yeah.
I mean, how do we know? But
yeah.
Yeah, or maybe Methuselah took... Methuselah.
The original.
He killed his biofilms, and there you go.
People that buy it are getting powdered up versions of his body.
Yeah, they just powdered
They're getting
him down.
Powdered Methuselah.
But parts of him have been dehydrated at low temperature, so it's got the living enzymes.
Oh, we have a good time on Free For All.
Roman writes in, would you share your results from the experiment you described in the article, how I'm using colloidal, or
colloidal silver.
I'm using colloidal silver to prevent flu and cancer and get rid of lung infection naturally. The results are in.
Results are in.
They've come in.
We've weighed in.
We have them now. You use it a lot. You use it just recently. We use colloidal silver all the time. If you get
an Omron
nebulizer, which is the one we recommend, we'll put a link to it in the show notes. These are great because they're battery powered. They're quiet, which is the big thing. You can take it on a plane, but problem on a plane, you can't take liquid. You can nebulize the air that's inside the nebulizer. That is contaminated with biofilms.
The recycled plane air.
Yeah.
With no bad things in those at all. No, what was I going to say about that?
But it's travel. It's
I don't know, though.
Traveling.
You can take a couple ounces on a plane, though.
Okay.
Three or 4 ounces. I forget what it is.
So
I have to check with the airlines. But yeah, that is smart.
So yeah, so in that article, I'll put a link to the article, too. I just use it to get rid of, like, you know, if I have a flu coming on or whatever.
Any
silvers.
Kind of bronchial infection or any kind of sore throat, I'm jumping on it these days. And you know what? Everybody at my work they chose to take antibiotics when the flu was going around last couple months.
That's right.
Yeah, like a major sore throat, cold thing, and turned into, you know, bad things for people. But I just kept doing that along with high-dose vitamin C and right as rain. Personally, I was happy I didn't have to, you know, obviously take an antibiotic.
That's good.
So, yeah, I swear by the thing. I think it really helps.
I won't take an antibiotic, man, unless my life is on the line.
Great. Great. If it saves you and you kill off some bacteria, at least you're alive, you know?
Yeah.
And
but
your
other
death's
than that,
door, right?
I mean, I remember when we went to, where was that? The Dominican Republic a couple years ago. I was.
I don't know if I've ever seen you that sick.
I had just death knocking at my door, man.
You did.
My. Oh.
And it looked like Methuselah.
I looked like Methuselah too at 968.
No, I meant death knocking at the door looked like Methuselah, but yes, you did too.
Yeah, it was horrible. That was bad. I had a lung or a throat infection that and I just waited it out, man. I was in there. I was sick for a few weeks, but during the worst week was when we were actually there, and I'm not taking that stuff. I'm not taking antibiotics unless I have to.
We made it.
Yeah, we're
like
alive.
All these things that other people have had to quickly take antibiotics for, we're still here. Mm-hmm. And we're probably way stronger for it. You know, our systems are, it's like breaking a fever or overcoming any kind of other, you know, obstacle with your health. It's eventually your immune system's going to thank you for it.
Yeah, you're stronger. It's like going to the gym for like lifting weights for, you know, 3 weeks straight with no break. You're going to be thrashed, but you're ultimately, you're going to be stronger.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Omron is amazing. I feel like the jury's in with the colloidal silver, and it has helped us stay well.
I believe the term
well.
Is colloidal.
Colloidal.
Colloidal?
Colloidal.
Juanita writes in, hi there, and thanks for your concern. I was told 5 years ago that I had breast cancer, but the second opinion I got said it wasn't so. Nonetheless, since then, I have developed a large lump on my left breast. There's no pain, so I just think it could be from the marker they left inside my breast in case I would have had the surgery. I'm afraid sometimes, and I can't talk to anyone about it because they don't understand why I will not have the surgery. Gosh, isn't that so? I almost wonder when if people ever get sick, if it's best just to keep it to themselves.
Yeah.
And not.
I know the more I talked about when I was really in the throes of my illness, when I would tell people at work, all it would take is them to be like, you don't look so good. What's going on? And I would just spill way too much of my life.
You just throw
and
up
then
all
I
over.
Owned it. It's like it became, it derived power from it or something. Yeah. I wish I would have kept it to myself.
Because then you start getting everyone's opinion and what you should do. And, oh, here's the antibiotics. It'll work for you. It'll work for me. You know? She says here, they don't understand why I will not have the surgery. So I just try to heal myself or help myself and pray. I listened to your show and learned about the biomat and the sauna. I'm confused as to which one would benefit me more. My husband has diabetes and currently receiving dialysis 3 days a week.
Mm.
Wow. I would like to help him also. Any advice you can give would be appreciated. My older sister died from colon cancer and I refused to be a guinea pig. See, this is good. It's encouraging to listen to your show and hear your story. Thanks again, Juanita. Yeah, see, this is awesome because it's showing that Juanita is an awakened person.
Because
how many times have you seen people that, this is the most bizarre thing to me, you know, someone has a dad that drinks themselves to death and then they just repeat the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for me, I'm always...
I understand the mental, like, part of it. Like, you're just trying to numb the pain, but you end up doing the very thing that ended up taking their life. But,
yeah. I mean, to me, I guess it makes sense to numb the pain, but it's bizarre. It doesn't really make sense because you're doing the exact same thing.
I think you'd find a new way to... And some people do.
Yeah.
You know, but... So you're saying she's trying really hard to not go that route that her family has. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, Juanita, for writing in.
What would you suggest to her about... I mean,
I would listen to the show that we did with Tamara St. John, episode 75, about breast cancer, and also listen to, I did a solo show about what I would do if I were ever diagnosed with cancer, and I think it was episode 126, I think.
Okay.
To get some ideas.
And also, I mean, is it the, what's the Phil Wilson one about the sauna? Because I'd love for her to know the differences between the sauna and the biomat and the things that they help.
Yeah, the sauna... Well, you have a lot more experience. I do the biomat, but not as often as you do.
Right.
You do the biomat a lot and the sauna a lot, too.
I love them both. The problem is they're both so different. It's hard. We get that question so many times. What if I'm going to buy one or if one's going to help me more than the other? And it's so hard because physically, I feel like the release happens in the sauna. I love to feel the sweat, feel that like I just feel good, like toxins are out of me and I'm cleaner for it. And I'm making, you know, headway by helping my body eliminate those naturally. But there's something magical that happens too on the biomat. That's it's magical and it feels really healing. And I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It's probably just the presence of being on a warm bed of crystals. I mean, not at all to cheapen that crystals themselves couldn't just heal somebody. I don't know.
Right.
But my gosh, is it just, it's so comforting on top of all the other therapies. I mean, you can sweat on that thing. If you lay on that thing long enough, you will break a sweat. It takes a while.
Oh, yeah.
So it feels really healing, but in a really different way.
See, it depends too on how you want to use. See, the biomat is awesome because it allows you to direct the heat to specific parts of your body more effectively than the sauna.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit more, what's the term? Able to be used in different situations. So the biomat, like, you can read books on it, you can meditate on it, you can do stretching and yoga on it, you could
sleep on it,
put it in your car and drive with it. So it's really versatile in that way. The thing is, for me, I don't like to be hot when I sleep.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, you can
right.
turn it all the way down to low, and it might be great to do if you live somewhere cold or you don't have a lot of blankets or something.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's like an electric blanket that you're getting, like, you're not getting fried.
Yeah.
You're getting the opposite. You're actually, from what I know, getting infused with healing and
the
light and energy.
Light. And right. it's coming through the crystals, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. You're getting a really natural source.
It's really cool because it allows you to direct the heat to specific parts of your back, like if you have back pain or back issues, or if you have like a chi machine, or if you have anything like that, you could do that while you're on a sauna, or you could listen to like audiobooks. Oh, I'm sorry.
On the biomat?
On the biomat.
Right.
So it's a little bit more versatile. Personally, I would have to lean a little bit more towards the sauna. But the biomat is cool, man. You,
I know, it's hard.
It's so hard because when I go in the sauna, I love to watch a documentary or a talk show or something, right?
Right.
But on the biomat, something happens around the 20-minute mark where you just shoot off in some other dimension.
It's the magical 20-minute mark.
Yeah. You're
it
laying
is.
There and nothing is, it's just like, what is this? Just a heating pad? Mm-hmm. There's nothing special about it.
Right.
And all of a sudden, for me, around 20 minutes, you're just...
It just knocks you into next week.
Yeah, you're gone.
Yeah, you are. It's like being on a different plane.
Yeah. Have you ever meditated on it sitting up straight?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you notice any difference doing that? Or is it just pretty...
Well,
you have to be laying down, huh?
No, I don't know. What happens, though, if you see... I haven't been able to sit upright on it meditating more than 15 minutes because it makes you tired.
Oh,
and it like makes you feel like you just took a melatonin. So then I'm like, oh, and then I end up laying on it, which is great.
Yeah.
But no, the sitting up is strange, though. I've had all kinds of like weird, like all of a sudden my eyes will, like flood with light. I'll be like in the dark and I'll feel like, bam, like this flash of golden yellow light.
Really?
Oh, it's weird. And
look
way
at
more
you.
Than like if I am not sitting on the biomat. I feel like so if there are chakras
that.
And there is, that kind of a thing going on, or your third eye awakening, or I think it's happening because I don't know what those flashes of light are.
You're hanging out with your third eye?
Hanging out with me and my third eye, keeping it real. The only other thing I can think of is when I had a Reiki session one time with a local practitioner, and I saw a bunch of weird colors and lights too. So to me, there's definitely something going on with energy, and I love that biomat. All I can say is I'd be sad if we didn't all of a sudden didn't have either one of them. I'd be really sad. You don't need them to heal, but man, do I love them.
Yeah, they're awesome.
They're
just so cool. The sauna, I would lean a little bit more towards the sauna just for me personally. Because it's something about, like, you go in there and you get your own time to yourself and you can watch something really cool and you can get away from, if you have kids, you can get away from your family and friends and just have a little bit of peaceful time to yourself.
Right.
I really like that. And the biomat would do that too. But
I feel though, like the sauna, it's it feels like you're really moving stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
That's what I feel like. You're making headway. It feels like you're regaining your health every time you do it, even on a just in your head,
right?
Because you're wiping off the stuff that's coming out of your body and releasing. It just feels really, really restorative to me, and like you're
totally.
Cleansing. That's how I feel about it. But.
Yeah, and Juanita, and just know that you don't need either of these two things to heal, but they do help. They help sort of speed up the process of healing.
Mm.
If you guys are interested in learning more about them, they're on our website. You can check them out. As far as breast cancer, let's see, we'll end on this question here. I would listen to a show that we did with Lisa Callison, actually, because she does a lot of work with thermography. And many women are sort of browbeaten into getting, what are those scans, breast cancer scans?
Mammograms.
So that's something to look at as well. And there's also a Navarro blood test. I'm sorry, not a blood test, but a urine test. And it tests your urine for HCG. And the only reason HCG would ever be in urine is if there's the potential for cancer cells to be there. Hmm. So it's a great way to do a cheap cancer
test. Is that a cheap test?
Through urine, yeah.
How do you get the Navarro?
We'll put it in the show notes on this page.
Got it.
So those are some ideas. And then listen to the show we did, episode 75, with Tamara St. John.
Oh, right. Yep. 75. Got it.
One last thing before we go. We got 2 minutes.
Okay.
How do you like that book, Reincarnation and Christianity?
Put me on the spot here. I find it to be reading, I feel like I'm reading a thesis.
Yeah?
I don't know. Reincarnation is something that's very fascinating to me lately.
Yeah?
I was turned on by the name of it probably like last year, and then you got it for me last Christmas.
Yeah.
And I just started it. I tried it at Christmas time, and it just wasn't resonating. I thought, this is like reading a horrible dissertation or some kind of crazy paper by a scholar. But I'm just drawn back to it. And now it is a hard read. It's a heady read, but he's writing it in such a way that, I mean, he's a professor and he's a super brilliant man, and he's not taking sides. He's just putting information and facts and studied material out there. Something I didn't grow up really thinking about. And no. I heard about it, I just thought it was totally wrong. But he's asking, why can't they exist within Christianity? What is it? So I'm only a chapter in, and it's heavy, but
yeah,
I'm interested. I haven't made up my mind.
Interesting.
And maybe I never will. How are you liking Soulcraft?
Soulcraft is good. It's good. He's talking about like the journey into the soul,
mm-hmm,
and the difference between soul and spirit, and you know, the quest of journeying inside of yourself to find the core of who you are, versus like going out and living in like sort of the hay house kind of world, you know, like, mm-hmm, where everything's great and everything's, you know, happy and all that. So he's talking about preparing for the descent and all this stuff. It's pretty good.
Have you got to the part yet where he talks about like going into the quote death lodge?
No.
It's pretty cool.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you read that whole thing.
Oh, I love it.
It's a long book.
Pretty long book. I read it last summer, and it really, I don't know if it was what I was going through at the time, but it really spoke to me, just helping me die to myself and realizing just again and again, there's so much bigger plan than, mm-hmm, we could ever imagine, and tapping into that and dying to the ego is what it's all about in order to experience a realness to life, a, mm-hmm, real quality. Like, but yeah, he talks about going like, even doing a symbolic death lodge where you can go into like a sweat lodge or something like that, and you literally come out a different person. You leave whatever it is that you can do as an outward representation, like a baptism of leaving an old, becoming a new.
Oh.
It's really powerful little part in there, but
yeah, it's cool.
I like the poetry in there. Are you annoyed by it? Because I love Dave. It's David White that he mostly talks
about. Oh, it's so funny. I just skip over all that.
I could see that.
I just do not like poetry at all.
It's really growing on me.
Is it?
Yeah.
I guess I should try it. I read it. I'm just like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I'd rather just get to what he's saying, you know? I'd rather get to someone. Even with Wayne Dyer's book, when he did the... what is that, thoughts on the Tao Te Ching, 365 with the Tao or something like that. If it were too long, I'd just skip it and just read what he's saying about it.
Right, right. You want the Cliff's Notes. Like, yeah. Marianne Williamson, you know, Return to Love versus reading the whole Course in Miracles or something. But it's hard.
Yeah, Return to Love, that's right. Yeah, I'm not drawn to poetry and stuff, but that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That I hadn't been until I read that. I think that might have been the book that cracked me open.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Should I look at the poetry in there?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Okay. I think it's David. Is it David White that he's always? Well, you wouldn't know because you're not reading it. I think he might be. A few different people in there, but some of them, I was like, eh. I read it 5 times and I still didn't know what the hell he was talking about. But a lot of it, man, it hit a place that I was like, okay, I see where there's a time and a place for poetry when it's like a really good song that hits you on a soul level. You have to be in the right place to receive it. And it's almost like when that perfect time aligns and you're in that place, it's just magic.
Right.
Because I've been actually writing more like prayers/poetry in my journals more than journaling anymore. And it's bizarre when you get out of your own way and you step into the flow. It's like God just speaks things through you, and you just, I can't stop my pen.
Mm-hmm.
See, and to me, I go, that came out of me? Like, that's weird.
I could understand writing and seeing how that would be super therapeutic and cathartic to write that poetry. But for me to read it, I just don't, I shouldn't say this because I don't, I guess each verse or each sort of poem is its own thing. And I shouldn't judge all my other experiences reading poetry on that one, because that one could be something I really need to hear. But in general, it doesn't seem like it's something that I am
drawn to
that
maybe
much.
Green Eggs and Ham ruined it for you when you were a kid. Easy rhymes. You thought that was what poetry was all about. Dr. Seuss let you down.
Yeah.
No, but, and it might not be for everybody, but I don't know. I feel like there's something in there that you would really like.
I feel like we should always be open to stuff, you know?
Totally.
Like, you know, I should give it a try.
Yeah. At the right time.
Yeah.
Right. Good all times, right. Good books, and
well,
good Friday.
Good dancing.
Good
lots of good dancing.
Have I ever told people that story?
I don't think so.
I used to, one of my good friends had this little preschool guy that I would pick up from preschool and bring him home a couple days a week while they were at work. And one time I picked him up and he's in the back seat and his name is Nathan. And I said, "How did school go, Nathan?" He said, "Great." He said, I want to create a business." "Oh, what do you want to create?"
How old is he now?
Like 3.
Okay.
"It's a business called Nathan's Business." And I was already laughing. I said, "Well, what do you do at Nathan's Business?" "It's a place you go to where there's lots of candy, lots of laughing, and lots of good dancing."
At 3 years old.
3.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
And lots of good dancing. I told his mom she about died. She's a good friend of mine. But, oh, man, that was funny. Nathan's Business.
What is it? Candy? What is it?
Candy, lots of fun or laughing, and lots of good dancing.
I love
it. It couldn't have just been dancing.
Yeah, people are going to, pay for that?
Lots of good dancing, right. That's his business. But actually, I thought about that. I'm like, how cool. What a childlike thing to say. And that was like, wouldn't that be rad if we could all have businesses flow out of us that were creative and fun and other people just wanted to support them?
I know.
Like, how rad would that be to go to a place where there's candy,
dancing, laughing.
And laughing.
I mean, who wouldn't want to go to a place like that? People would pay a top dollar for that.
Well, who was it?
I mean,
that was
basically like a bar.
Well, yeah, you're right. Topless. I'm just kidding.
Topless bar.
That's even weirder. What was it? Who was it that had that business about giving hugs? It was like a cuddle. Like, you could go and make an appointment for like a cuddle factory, or you'd go and like spoon people or cuddle with people.
Yeah.
That was different.
Yeah, there was some
and
lady.
I don't think it was free. I think they charged. She charged.
Yeah, they charged. It's like,
it was like my cuddle.
Should I look it up?
Yeah. Hope nothing weird comes up.
Cuddle.
That was a really interesting thing though, but I thought a lady made a whole business revolved around cuddling because people don't get touched enough and loved enough. It's sad.
Cuddle up to me. Our team. Let's see.
Cool idea.
Yeah. Kind of a professional cuddler, outdoor enthusiast, and in love with the universe. 5'6", mid-20s, believes in unconditional love and kindness. A session with Heather is sure to bring you out of this world. She will help you escape the humdrum and find a sanctuary unlike any you've known before. With Heather, you will find connection, acceptance, and open arms.
Hmm. Oh, there's many of them.
Samantha, she's an expert cuddler, owner of Cuddle Up To Me.
Wow.
Cuddle Up To Me. Who are
you? Wow. Ray, 5'8", late 20s, visionary and a rare sense of balance. Ray is open, honest, and direct with a hearty laugh and the ability to make even the most reluctant cuddler safe and comfortable.
It is kind of funny, though, isn't it? Like, you're picking, basically. It's like you're trying to find somebody online, like a good fit for a date or something.
Hey, a guy.
Cam.
Interesting. Yeah,
cuddle
I was just going
to Cam.
I was gonna say... Like, would this be okay with guys?
Who knows?
Cam is grounded and giving. You'll feel welcome and loved in his big arms. He could be silly or sensitive. Your session will surely cure what ails you.
I can't imagine the legality behind all this stuff. Like, it seems like you'd have to sign so many waivers. It seems like there could be so many things that could go wrong with people, like, saying things against you, you know?
When
like,
you type into Google cuddle business... It gave up, like, the next suggested searches were, like, all these cities in the United States. So that means that, like, people are searching for, like, cuddle business,
wow.
Los Angeles, cuddle business, you know, Tokyo or something.
Do you think it will take off?
I suspect it will. I really do. Because people are becoming more and more disconnected. And people are working longer hours. They're more stressed out. I think businesses, like, service-type businesses... Like massage and this type
float
of thing.
Float tanks.
As weird as it sounds, I really do think there's a need for it.
Uh-huh.
As bizarre as it is to cuddle up to somebody. Because think about it when you and I hug, or if you hug somebody, Like, you just feel, in that moment of giving a hug, you just feel good.
You do.
You know?
You totally do.
And it's probably because of that, the way the energetics of the heart work and all that. But a session is $60, a 1 hour session.
Holy mackerel.
But that starts to getting to me like, I don't know. I mean, are you getting people, you know, after a few minutes, are they starting to get a little bit
weirded out?
Well, a little bit randy.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. To me, I love those viral videos, though. I'll never get sick of them. They make me cry every time, of the people that put a sign on, like, free hugs.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll blindfold themselves, and you watch this camera of all these people in New York City or whatever coming up and hugging these people. And it's just, to me, it's out there. You'll find someone to hug you. I mean,
yeah.
Even if you're a mass murderer, I'm sure you could get someone to hug you if it's, you know, that important to you.
Right.
I think people just need to, I think the beauty of it is people realizing that that's an important part of being human, is the touch and the love. And
this place is in Oregon. We'll put a link to it, cuddleuptome.com.
How funny.
Yeah, I think that in our digital age and moving on with technology, I think people are going to be more disconnected. And then there's
going to
be
better than having a robot hug you, is all I got to say.
Yeah, it's better than that.
Mm-hmm. There's a time and a place. It is better than having a robot hug you.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
No, it's just bizarre that
it's
like...
It's a weird world, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, think about people that are like a single kind of a guy or a girl who's like maybe 50 years old, or, you know, just a sort of corporate executive or kind of working a job and...
Doesn't have time for relationships or can't connect anyone.
Doesn't really have any friends, and their family's either dead or not around.
Mm.
And they kind of live like a loner existence, and they go to work every day and they come home to an empty apartment or an empty house with no dogs or friends or anything, and then they spend their nights alone, and they work basically alone. I mean, could this somehow appeal to someone like that? I'd have to think so.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
In a way, it sounds so funny, but I really am grateful that people have these ideas, because what you just described is like, oh, there are people, and there's many people like that. It just makes your heart sad, though, you know?
Could be a professional cuddler.
Kate, that's my new job.
$60 an hour.
I would do it.
Yeah.
I that's where I'd feel bad. I would just want to hug people for free or cuddle people for free.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad it exists, because, I mean, people have to make their money like anybody else. But.
And it's just a way of getting emotions out of the body, too, because, like, feeling that connection, you know, if a lack of connection, it causes people to act out in violence or something, or if they're stressed out and they don't work out and get that energy out of them through work training or something, you know, people
act start acting weird. Yeah, or mental stuff.
All right, we need to get you on the road, Missy.
I got
to
get on the road.
Get on the road.
Pack my biomat and haul on down the road.
Are you going to take it?
Yeah.
Is that
okay?
You?
Yeah.
Nice.
Taking the laser and the biomat.
Dude, you're taking everything.
Hope you'll be okay.
You're leaving me with just a sauna.
I left you a dinner.
That's right. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us. This was episode 430.
Yes, sir.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. So if you want the show notes, go to extremehealthradio.com/430, and you can thank baby Kate. for taking notes for you.
Cuddle me, Kate.
Okay.
That's my, oh.
.org.
.org. .au.
Cuddlemekate.gov. Your government.
The cuddle the government.
Tax-free.
Oh, gosh. Tax-free.
But yeah, if you go to extremehealthradio.com/430, Kate took all kinds of show notes. So everything we talked about is on the show notes if you want to grab them there. We appreciate your support via Patreon, via bookmarking our Amazon link, which there's an Amazon link at the top right of our website. And when you shop and remember us every time you go through our Amazon link, that helps us hugely. So if you can remember to bookmark our link or use it every single time you make a purchase there on Amazon, that really helps us.
Please keep us in mind with a lot of summer purchases for vacations and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of online shopping, almost as much as the holidays. So that helps.
If you do purchases for your business, like big business purchases, we can't see who orders what, so it all helps us. So we appreciate that a lot. And it's a great way to support us without really doing anything extra on your part, other than just making purchases there on Amazon, which you do anyway. So we appreciate that a lot. And also for you guys for sharing our shows and our updates on Facebook. That really is awesome.
You guys rock.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We're out of here. Kate's going to go on vacation and leave me in the lurches.
Oh, I'll miss you. But I'll be back. And I won't miss a show. Oh, Maggie Brown's very sad that I'm leaving.
That's right.
Right.
She's very upset. All right, everyone. Thanks. She's on the table now.
Walking across the table.
Hello, Maggie. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Magnolia.
Yeah.
Maggie Brown.
Let me get her off the table. Let me get her off the table.
Okay. Whoop, there you go. She's so long.
Maggie, you want to be a broadcaster?
You're in two time zones.
Okay. I don't know if you're going to be... You're not saying much.
But a lot of licks. Oh, you're cute.
Mm. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. We'll catch you guys in the next episode.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. This is Josie, Justin's mom. Don't tell him, but I know he would absolutely be really happy if you would sign up to his free weekly newsletter. And don't forget to share this with all your friends. This is the Buzzing Bumblebee signing off.
That's so good.
Oh my gosh.
No material on this blog is intended to suggest that you should not seek professional medical care. Always work with qualified medical professionals, even if you educate yourself in the field of live food, nutrition, and alternative medicine. I'm not a doctor, nor am I offering readers medical advice of any kind. None of the information offered here should be interpreted as a diagnosis of any disease, nor an attempt to treat or prevent any disease or condition. While information in this blog is discussed in the context of numerous conditions, it can be dangerous to take action based on any information in this blog or to start any health program without first consulting a health professional. The content found here is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as a treatment/cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be continued as such. Always work with a qualified healthcare professional before making any changes to your diet, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. This information is provided as is, and the reader/viewer assumes all risks from the use, non-use, or misuse of this information.